Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
On March 26, 1992, anti-apartheid freedom fighter Glenock Masilo-Mama was on his way to Nelspruit, South Africa. But as he drove his minibus under the Nelspruit Bridge, Glenock was ambushed by a death squad from the apartheid South African police. The leader of the death squad, a man named Eugene de Kock, emptied his gun into Glenock's body. Then Eugene de Kock doused the bus with fuel and set it on fire. It was an act so evil it shocked the nation and led the South African press to give Eugene de Kock the nickname Prime Evil. Eventually, de Kock was sentenced to prison for his crimes against humanity. But Eugene de Kock was not the only one who was imprisoned by his crime. Glenock's daughter Candice Mama was just 7 months old when her father was murdered. Growing up without a dad was hard enough, but then when Candice was just 9 years old, she learned the truth about what had happened to her dad. She saw a picture of his burnt body still clutching the steering wheel of his minibus. She learned more about the man who'd assassinated her father in cold blood, and the evil that had murdered her father was now aimed at her. Candice became so resentful and angry, it nearly destroyed her life. "I wasn't happy or healthy or even living," Candice now says. The pain and bitterness eventually affected her health. One night, when she was just 16 years old, she was rushed to the hospital with chest pain so severe, the doctors thought she was having a heart attack. Every time she thought about Eugene de Kock and what he'd done, she felt a panic attack. Her emotions literally held her in prison and tortured her. Candice thought to herself, "No, he already killed my father, and now he's killing me too." She knew she had to do something about the evil aimed at her. So Candice did what to many would be unthinkable. She decided to forgive Eugene de Kock. And when she did, something miraculous happened. Candice Mama received release from the pain, the anger, and the bitterness. Suddenly, for the first time in many years, Candice felt joy and peace. The heavy load was lifted from her life, and Candice Mama was set free. Eventually, Candice and her family went to visit Eugene de Kock in prison. She told him face to face, "I forgive you." And then she hugged the man who murdered her father. Today, Candice Mama brings hope and healing to people all over the world as she shares the message of freedom through forgiveness. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the amazing true story of Candice Mama and her forgiveness of her father's killer. There's no doubt that an act of great evil was done against Candice, and that evil nearly overcame her and destroyed her life. But Candice fought back and overcame the evil aimed at her, not by binding the devil, but by exercising forgiveness. And you can too. No matter what has been done against you, you can find freedom when you forgive. You can overcome the evil aimed at you. That's the powerful truth in our sermon today. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for gathering us today in your presence to hear your word and to allow your spirit to transform us. Come upon your people today and change us. Help us to release the anger, the resentment, the pain, and the bitterness. Help us today to forgive others the way you've forgiven us. We submit to you right now. I bind every voice of the devil that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to bring light and life and love to our hearts. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. You picked a great day to be here as we wrap up our sermon series titled Living Sacrifice. Throughout this month, we've been studying Romans chapter 12. God directed us to this life-changing chapter so that we could learn how God wants us to live in 2021. So before we discover the truth for today, let's take a moment to review what God has been teaching us. We started off the new year as we heard his call to all of us to become a living sacrifice this year. God is calling his people to a new level of surrender to him as we lay down our lives on his altar. And the good news is this: when we lay our lives down on the altar, we get close to God. On the altar, we are under his anointing and sheltered by his spirit. But not only that, when you live on the altar, you begin to fulfill your purpose in life by pleasing God. For the fact is, God has called all of us to please him. That's his will for you, and it's possible for you to please God this year. And Romans 12 shows us that God has a plan for us to please him. His plan is for all of us to please him as we become just like Jesus. Now, obviously, becoming just like Jesus requires that we change. You can't be like Jesus and stay the way you are right now. If you believe it, say amen. And so we saw how that change process takes place. Romans 12 teaches us that God changes us on the inside by changing our thinking. Change thinking requires that we change our aim. We don't live for self, we live for God. We have to change our motive from self to surrender. We have to pursue God's priorities and purposes for our lives. And that means we have to practice living in real love. We have to take off our masks and stop pretending, for real love is sincere. We have to set aside our ambition and pride and work for unity in the church, for real love serves and real love shares. And to do that, you have to be willing to forgive. And that brings us to the end of Romans 12 and our final sermon in this series, titled Overcoming the Evil Aimed at You. Our scripture text for today is found in Romans 12, 17 to 21. It's the final five verses from this life-changing chapter of Romans 12. Now receive the word of the Lord. If someone does you wrong, don't try to pay them back by hurting them. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Do the best you can to live in peace with everyone. My friends, don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. Wait for God to punish them with his anger. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one who punishes. I will pay people back. But you should do this. If you have enemies who are hungry, give them something to eat. If you have enemies who are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will make them feel ashamed. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As the Apostle Paul brings this section of Romans to a close, he turns to the final truths we need to live our lives as living sacrifices to God. And surprisingly, he concludes this chapter with a frank challenge to us to forgive others and do good to those who hate us. And when you think about it, it makes sense why the Apostle Paul concludes this chapter with this admonition. You see, when you begin to put the truths of Romans 12 into practice, you're going to experience opposition. Every man and every woman who surrenders to God as a living sacrifice will become the target of the enemy. He will try to get you off the altar and stop you from pleasing God. The enemy will aim evil at you to try to defeat you. But the surprising truth is this: the greatest attack against you from Satan is not witchcraft, magic, and evil spells. Those are real, and they are out there. But the greatest attacks against the child of God are deception in our minds and bitterness in our hearts. Make no mistake today, there are spiritual forces aligned against you to try to bring you down. The Apostle Paul knew that. He lived in a society given over to idolatry. He lived in a Roman Empire that worshipped their leader as a god. There were shrines everywhere. People were very much involved in witchcraft in the days of the Apostle Paul. But as Apostle Paul comes to the end of this chapter, he doesn't talk about witchcraft, evil spells, incantations, or other acts of magic and the occult. He talks about other people doing us wrong. He speaks about people who cheat you, mistreat you, insult you, lie about you, and steal from you. And he gives us the steps we can all take to overcome the evil aimed at you. For the truth is, this is our biggest battle. We must learn to resist the evil aimed against us so that it doesn't penetrate our hearts and our minds. See, if the enemy can get bitterness, anger, and hatred in your heart and mind, he can get you off the altar and into the flesh. If the enemy can make you resentful and fill you with revenge, he can distract you from pleasing God. So God instructs us how to win this war and stay surrendered to Him. And that's what we're going to learn today as we discover three steps to overcome the evil aimed at you. Now, here's your first step to overcome evil. Don't fight back. Forgive the offender. Just say, "I forgive my offenders." Listen again to how this section begins in Romans 12, 17. If someone does you wrong, don't try to pay them back by hurting them. So your first step to overcome the evil aimed at you is don't fight back, forgive the offender. For the fact is, when faced with offenses, hurts, and betrayals, you have a choice. You can be bitter or you can get better. You can allow the hurt and the hatred to fester and grow until it takes over your life and destroys you. Or you can choose to overcome evil with good. You can choose to turn offense into an opportunity for God to move. That's why your journey to forgiveness begins by realizing how much God has forgiven you. Listen to what God says about His measure of forgiveness in your life in Colossians 2, 13 to 14. You were spiritually dead because of your sins, but God gave you new life together with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Because we broke God's laws, we owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed to follow. But God forgave us of that debt. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. And look at how Paul describes our condition outside of Christ in these verses in Colossians. We were dead because of sin. We broke God's law. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. There was a long list of rules we failed to follow. And the truth is, we're all guilty of breaking God's laws. We all owe God a debt we can't pay. If we marked our sins, there would be so many, we could never, ever come close to God. Listen to how David describes our condition in Psalms 40, 12. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. And friends, let me make it clear. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you. You may be a very nice person. You may be loved by your family and friends and respected in the community. You may have done good to others. You may be a good member of a good church. But the truth is, we are all sinners, and not one of us deserves God's grace and mercy. Even if you are a very, very, very good person, you're still a sinner. Even if you never fornicate, never lie, never steal, never curse, never even, not even once, miss attending church, you're still a sinner. For Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even if you're a good person, you cannot say you've never done anything bad or wrong at all in your entire life. God's standard of holiness is absolute perfection. No man has ever been completely, totally perfect in every thought, word, and deed. For you see, even if in your entire life, from birth to now, even if you've only committed one small sin, the Bible says you're still guilty. For James 2:10 says, the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. But listen, friends, that's not the end of the bad news. Not only are we all sinners, but we must realize that the debt of our sin is very, very great. It's not a small thing at all. That's why Romans 5:10 tells us that before we were saved, we were God's enemies. You were an enemy of God. And when you realize how guilty you are and how great your sin is, then you will realize this truth. You will never have to forgive someone else more than God has forgiven you. See, when you realize the depth of your sin, you realize that before Jesus saved you, there was no hope. We could never pay the debt we owed to God. That's why Ephesians 2:12 says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You lived in this world without God and without hope. That's why God's grace is even more wonderful and abundant and amazing than we could ever proclaim. We were dead. We were without hope. Yet God has poured out abundant grace on us. Listen to 1 Timothy 1, 13 to 15. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. And you can fill in your own sins in those places and shout, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So just say after me, I've been shown mercy. Say, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Say, Christ Jesus came to save me. We've received so much from God. We've been saved and healed and forgiven and delivered and blessed and helped. We've been fed and clothed and cared for and loved. When we were enemies of God, Jesus died for us. And the truth is, we all owed God a tremendous debt we could not pay. But in his love and mercy, Jesus came and died for us so that we could be forgiven. And when you consider all that God has done for you and how much he's forgiven you, you will be moved to forgive your offense. This is why Jesus commands us to forgive others. He clearly tells us that our forgiveness from God will be in the same way, to the same extent, and in the same manner as our forgiveness of others. For in Matthew 6, 12, 14, and 15, Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So forgiveness from God requires us to forgive others. And no matter what anyone has done against you, when you have the power of Christ's love inside of you, you can forgive. That's the lesson we can learn from our sister in Christ in Rwanda named Iphigenia Mukendabana. Iphigenia has known evil up close and personal. During the 1994 Rwanda Civil War, she was an eyewitness to the slaughter that killed over 800,000 of her countrymen. Women and girls were raped, and I saw it all, Iphigenia says. The men and boys were beaten and then slaughtered. They told others to dig a hole, get in, and then they piled earth on top of them while they were still alive. Ordinary citizens who went to church together, whose children attended school together, who lived together as neighbors, these were the ones who were slaughtering each other. Iphigenia lost her husband and five children when they were hacked to death by Hutu militia. Among the attackers was her neighbor, Jean Bosco Bizimana. She knew the man who killed her husband. Yet, today, if you go to Rwanda, just outside Kigali, you'll see Iphigenia sitting together with Jean Bosco's wife as they weave baskets together. Not far from where Jean Bosco murdered her husband, Iphigenia shares her meals with him and his family. For in spite of the great evil Jean Bosco did, Iphigenia has forgiven him through the power of Jesus Christ. "I am a Christian. And I pray a lot," she says. And through the power of God's love, Iphigenia has overcome the evil aimed at her. She's conquered hate and bitterness. And what delivered Iphigenia will deliver you. Just as God has forgiven you, you can overcome evil when you forgive others. And that brings us to our second step today. Don't seek revenge. Release the wrongdoer. Just say after me, "I release the wrongdoers." Our scripture text continues in Romans 12, 19 with these words. "Don't try to punish anyone who does wrong to you. Wait for God to punish them with his anger." And here's what that means for all of us. Forgiving your offenders is the first step, but then you have to release the wrongdoers. You have to let them go from the debt they owe you. Don't seek revenge, release them. For the fact is, when you get angry and seek revenge, you don't hurt your enemy, you hurt yourself. That's why Proverbs 26, 27 tells us, if you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. That's the lesson we learn from what happened on Sunday, April 12, 2015, in Milwaukee, USA. 2-year-old Damani Terry was at a birthday party outside in the front of the house when he ran off from his friends. Before anyone could stop him, little Damani ran into the street. Archie Brown was driving on that street when Damani ran right in front of his car. Archie slammed on his brakes, but it was too late. Archie's car struck Damani and killed him. Archie quickly stopped his car and got down to attend to the boy. But Damani's uncle came out and saw his body there, and he became furious at Archie. And before anyone could stop him, he pulled a gun and fired repeatedly, killing Archie Brown. But Archie wasn't the only one killed. A stray bullet ricocheted off the car and struck and killed Damani's older brother, Rashid. Rashid had rushed over to try to comfort Damani in his dying moments, but when his uncle fired at Archie, a stray bullet killed Rashid. So Damani ran into the street and was hit by a car and killed. In revenge, Damani's uncle shot the driver. A stray bullet struck Damani's brother Rashid and killed him. And when the police came to arrest Damani's uncle for shooting and killing two people, he committed suicide. Four people dead, one the result of an accident, and three the result of anger. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. If you don't deal with anger, anger will deal with you. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:4, anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood. You can fight back or you can forget. When you choose to fight back, it will harm you and others, for anger brings a cruel result to your life. And what starts as a drop can easily turn into a flood. When you give into anger, it picks up speed and accelerates and starts to pour into your heart and mind. And in the end, you will pass that anger on to everyone around you. For the truth is, what doesn't get healed gets handed down. You may think that taking revenge will bring release, but in the end, it will bring destruction. When you allow the root of anger to go deep into your life, it will spread to those around you, and many others will be polluted. For Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. For anger is a seed that leads to a poisonous root of bitterness. And when you plant the seed of anger in your heart, it produces a poisonous root of bitterness that grows up. Anger opens the door to a whole world of evil. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:27, anger gives a foothold to the devil. The fact is, when faced with offenses, hurts, and betrayals, you have a choice. You can let anger result in death, or you can let love result in forgiveness. You can allow the hurt and the hatred to fester and grow until it takes over your life and destroys you and others, or you can choose to overcome evil with good. You can choose to turn offense into an opportunity for God to move. Last week in my sermon, Real Love, I told you the true story of Maria Grete. Maria is the Swedish woman who was a victim of a 419 romance scam. A young man in Abuja, Nigeria, pretended to be a Danish man looking for real love, and he was able to dupe Maria out of thousands of euro in the process. But what I didn't tell you last week is the rest of the story. You see, Maria could have stayed angry and bitter against the young man who deceived her. She could have sought revenge and could have even tried to have him arrested and prosecuted. But Maria Grete did something rare. She didn't seek revenge. In fact, she sought release for the man who cheated her. That's why in October 2009, Maria Grete flew from Sweden to Nigeria to meet the young man who had duped her. He'd already confessed his crime to her and asked her to forgive him. But Maria wanted to not only forgive, she also wanted to help the man forge a new future. I asked myself what I could do to prevent a situation where healthy, good young men fall into this trap, Maria said. So Maria spent 2 weeks in Nigeria meeting with Yahoo boys and talking to them about their future. She arranged to help the man who cheated her get to the United States to study, and she provided ongoing financial assistance to him to finish his degree. Today, he's working in the oil sector. But Maria didn't stop there. Over the past 11 years, Maria Grete has arranged for a number of African artists to visit Europe for arts exhibitions, workshops, conferences, and competitions. She's assisted them to source international grants and other funding to advance their work. She's visited Nigeria and Uganda to give talks on art and has encouraged numerous young people to develop their talents. Maria Grete turned a fence into opportunity. And there is less evil in the world today because Maria did good. And the truth is, you can do the same. Anyone, everyone can overcome the evil aimed at you. First, don't fight back. Forgive your offender. Second, don't seek revenge. Release the wrongdoer. And third, don't give in to evil. Get rid of evil with good. Listen to how this powerful chapter in the Bible ends in verse 21. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. In other words, your victory manifests not just when you're protected from evil, but when you overcome evil. For the truth is, God wants to do more than simply shelter you from evil. He wants to use you to tear down strongholds and bulldoze evil out of the world. And you can be encouraged today because no matter how great the enemy may seem in your life, no matter how great the evil is aimed at you, God is greater still. The battle ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. See, you may be a product of your past, but you don't have to be a prisoner of your past. That's what Paul discovered when he was literally in prison. Listen to his words to his spiritual son Timothy, written from the dark confines of a Roman dungeon in 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 9. Always remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. From the dark dungeon of prison, Paul recalls the powerful truth of the resurrection. He tells Timothy, always remember, whether in prison or in freedom, whether in good times or in trials, for the truth is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our foundation. It's what carries us through this life. Jesus was beaten and wounded and abused and killed, but he rose again. Death couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't hold him. Pilate couldn't stop him. The Jews couldn't silence him. No matter what anyone did to him, Jesus overcame. And that means something to us today. Jesus' resurrection means that I am not bound by what was done to me. I am freed by what Christ has done for me. That's why Paul goes on to say in verse 9, and because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. Paul was chained on the outside, but he had the liberating power of God on the inside. Paul knew that the resurrected Christ lived in him, and that meant that nothing could keep him down, nothing could keep him in chains. And the same thing is true for each and every one of us today. See, I've got something inside of me that can't be chained. It can't be stopped. I've got a power inside of me that brought Jesus back from the dead. And that means that when I walk in the power of God, there is nothing anyone can do to me that can hold me down. That's why I say, I'm not a prisoner, I'm a powerhouse. I'm not a prisoner to offense. I'm not a prisoner to circumstances. I'm not a prisoner to lockdown. I'm not a prisoner to people's opinion of me. I'm not a prisoner to the hatred aimed at me. They locked Paul up, but they couldn't shut him up. They bound him in chains, but they couldn't bind his spirit. And that's how it is for all of us today. When you are in Christ, you're not a prisoner of your circumstances. You're a powerhouse in the hands of God. For they may detain you on the outside, but they cannot derail your destiny. When you believe and put your faith in Christ, not your circumstances, then God can use you mightily, no matter what anyone has done to you. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians 1:12, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, he's speaking to you today, that everything that has happened to me, the good, the bad, the abuse, the chaining, the bondage, everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. In prison, Paul wrote epistles. In prison, he witnessed for Christ. In prison, he fulfilled his purpose. Even in prison, he fulfilled a powerful ministry that still speaks to us today. You can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. If you'll get rid of that negative baggage, you'll not only feel the heaviness drop off of you, but you'll step into the new things God has for you. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. God won't release new opportunities as long as you're holding on to old offenses. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:25, when you are praying, first, everybody say first, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. The opportunities available to you in prayer won't be realized till you get rid of the offenses holding you back. Being angry and upset over what people did to you will only keep you locked up in chains. It's time to drop it and move forward. It's time to let go of the offense and be free. Give it to God, and He will be your vindicator. That's the lesson we can learn from the late great pastor, John Osteen. In 1958, Pastor John Osteen was the pastor of a church in Houston, Texas. He was well-liked and had a bright future in ministry. But then something happened to Pastor John Osteen that brought opposition to him in his own church. In a time of seeking God, Pastor John was dramatically filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God came down upon him and baptized him with the Holy Spirit, and he began speaking in tongues. The experience with God instantly changed his life. Well, some of Pastor John's church members weren't very happy with the change in their pastor. They didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were not interested in speaking in tongues or in experiencing the supernatural in their church. People began to criticize the young pastor, and their opposition led to conflict in the church. Pastor John could have fought back. He could have given into pride or anger or bitterness. But Pastor John Osteen understood what we all need to understand today. You can't overcome evil by being evil in return. You overcome evil by doing good. So Pastor John Osteen left the church quietly. He decided not to stay and fight, but to release the people and move on. And when he released offense, God opened new opportunities. In 1959, Pastor John Osteen launched a new church that allowed the full expression of the Holy Spirit in ministry. Today, the church Pastor John Osteen started is called Lakewood Church. It's the largest church in America. Pastor John led Lakewood Church for 40 years, and today his son, Pastor Joel Osteen, leads the church as senior pastor. And in the amazing story of Lakewood Church, there's a lesson for all of us today. God will release new opportunities to you when you let go of old offenses. You can overcome the evil aimed at you. It begins when you lay your life on the altar as a living sacrifice, pleasing God as you surrender to Him. It continues as you become just like Jesus, letting God change you on the inside by changing your thinking. And your victory over evil manifests when you walk in real love. So don't fight back, forgive. Don't seek revenge, release. Don't give in to evil, get rid of evil. Fill your life with good, and you will overcome the evil aimed at you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we surrender to you. We lay our lives on the altar as a living sacrifice. When we think of how great your mercy is, how you forgave us of our debt, you turned our lives around. We can only thank you. We can only realize that nothing anyone has done against us is as great as what we did against you. And as you've forgiven us, we forgive others today. We release them. We forgive them. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you'll bless them. And we ask you to remove every bitterness, every resentment, every anger, every unforgiveness, every hatred out of our hearts. Remove it and deliver us and fill us with your love. Help us, Lord, to be so full of you, of your love, your grace, and your goodness, that we overcome evil, get rid of it from our lives as we minister your love and power in the world around us. We thank you today in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The hope of a nation.
bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.